If you're just joining us, we got on to the baseball topic because Roki Sasaki has announced his destination. And 3-2-1, yep, again, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. So it's the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers. It's always the Dodgers. No matter who the free agent is next, no matter what the rumors are, I'm just going to assume it's the Dodgers from now on, especially if it is a fancy international signing. Because they seem to, whatever their pitch is to those players, it's working, I think is the word I'm looking for. It's working. So there's that. All right, 888-957-9570. Jordan Poole is here. Jordan Poole will play basketball against the Warriors tomorrow. The Jordan Poole conversation well-traveled throughout the last couple of years, so I want to caution everybody right now, this is not your this is not your father's Jordan Poole conversation. I don't want to get into all of that drama, the back and forth, the punch, all of that stuff. I would much rather kind of look at this through the lens that you brought up, and I think that you do hear a lot more in recent days from the Warriors bringing up Warriors fans, I should say, bringing up his name. Because of the idea of, well, they're having a hard time scoring down the stretch. Steph needs a number two. Ha, 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 you should have kept Jordan Poole. So how do you answer your own question? Do you wish Jordan Poole was on this team?
No, I don't. But at times, I'll be honest, when I watch the Stephless Warriors and, you know, Buddy Hield is shot hunting and shot missing and Dennis Schroeder is confused, and then you look at the rest of the guys on the court and it's GP2, can't score, Kevon Looney, not a threat, Slow Mo, not really a scorer either. There are times when I do think about Jordan Poole at his best, and even at his normal, where Jordan Poole can get you a bucket. He can create his own. He can shoot the three ball. He can look to score. Now, I guess I'm kind of a little bit jaded or a little bit colored by what I remember from Jordan Poole. I don't remember only the good times. I do remember a lot of, you know, dribble, 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 fall down, and dribble, 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 chuck it up, and dribble, dribble, throw it to no one. So I don't think that he would be the answer, but I do at times look at an offense that really struggles and think, yeah, Jordan Poole's a guy who can at least get a bucket.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. And I do think it's very difficult. It's difficult in our day and age with the way that a lot of us debate and talk about sports and share thoughts. It's very difficult to sort of straddle a fence and present two things at the same time. I acknowledge all the things, and I did this on the crossover. I acknowledge all the things that you just said. The first thing I want to point to is Jordan Poole was a late first-round draft pick who worked his way through the G League, and by all accounts, he did it by being the first one to show up and the last one to leave. And period. End of story. How do you not love that in any human being? So I very, very much appreciate that part of his story. Secondarily, in professional sports, when a player is drafted by a team and has a key role on any level in winning a championship, that is also something that carries a lot of weight for people. And both of those things are very true for Jordan Poole. But for me, after that, it gets really complicated. It really does. And what I hear from a lot of people is when you point to two seasons ago, when all of those things you're talking about started to really take over, poor decision-making, forcing things, flying around under the hoop, throwing stuff up, looking at refs, horrific defense. A lot of people go, but it was after the punch. Period, end of story. Free pass for anything that happened after the punch. And I just can't do that. I have compassion. I think I have compassion with the best of them. I probably have too much in my life. That was awful. That was awful. However, on Earth, you're going to go through some things. I've seen some people go through worse things than an organization giving you $120-something million.
140.
And a punch in the face.
Yep.
I get it. It's in a public realm. That sucks. It's humiliating. It's debilitating in terms of team chemistry and all of that stuff. But what are we really saying about Jordan Poole if the final analysis is, well, he got punched. So that's the end of that. You can't, like, you're not accountable for anything anymore? And that's all it is. It's never been personal. I just, to me, it comes down to two things. And it's A, he's just not my kind of basketball player. The Warriors have been built for years on not just Steph's talent, Klay's shooting ability, the dog and Draymond. They're super smart, man. I know they turn the ball over a lot, but they have a process, a defensive rotation, an offensive ball movement, the Steve Kerr system. It's smart. It's smart, and it calls for players to understand it and make really good decisions. And Jordan stopped doing that. And whether it was because he got punched, because he got paid, because he wanted to be a one, because he wanted to start, I have no idea. But he stopped doing that. And then there's the financial aspect of it. And I really do firmly believe if Jordan Poole was still on this team, the Jonathan Kuminga conversation would be a non-starter.
It would be tougher, yeah. And I do think that when you look at, you know, what Jordan Poole is making, and this year he's making 29.6, and then it goes to 31.8 and 34 flat. As you look at those numbers and what Steph is making and Draymond and Wiggins, and you start to add it up, well, you're starting to run out of room for another player, let alone Jonathan Kuminga, who might be eventually getting 35 or 40. We don't know what that would be. But yeah, it becomes tougher to then, you know, give Kuminga an extension, let alone this year. Like, if you want to add up what Jordan Poole makes versus Slo-Mo and Buddy Hield and Dennis Schroeder, that those three make about the same amount as Jordan Poole. So where would your depth be? It probably wouldn't be there. And it's interesting what you say about the punch year. And I'm looking at just the numbers right now. And the year after he got punched, his last year here, he shot from the floor. It was 43% from the floor. Better than last year in Washington. And he shot 33% from three, better than last year in Washington. And he averaged 20 a night, better than last year in Washington. So even though the year he had, which was a little sideways, by the way, he did play in all 82. We definitely need to tip a cap for playing in 82. He wasn't, you know, he's one of only a small handful of guys who played in every game, but his numbers in his last year, which was sideways, last year in Washington was worse. He shot it as often. He shot it worse, he scored less, and he turned it over almost as often. So, yeah, Jordan Poole's year post-punch was not good, but his first year in Washington was categorically worse.
Yeah, and this year's been better.
Much better,
this year's been better, but I, again, and this is what, you know, Steiny and Goo were kind of criticizing me for, which is, you know, it's hard to say he's not a winning player when he's on Washington. Little chicken of the egg conversation there. Is Jordan the reason Washington's bad? Is Washington being bad the reason that Jordan is inefficient? I mean, look, there's probably some of both of those things. The bottom line is that. It is that. Like, Jordan started to embark on a basketball process that, for me, felt like it was more harm than good. It doesn't win games. It is too self-centric. It is too wild. It is too thoughtless. It is all of those things. And that's exactly what Washington is. And, you know, like, you'd hope that a player like Jordan Poole would come out of the Warrior system and immediately be like, guys, that's working really well for a decade. Let me share some things with you about how to go about it and actually win in the NBA. I don't see that. I don't see that. I see someone who's after numbers.
To an extent, and I also think that a lot of it is the way he plays and how he is comfortable playing. And I was looking at the numbers the other day about usage, which is the percentages of plays that you either score or you're involved with as the primary passer and the rest of that, and he has a higher usage rate than Steph Curry. He needs to be a part of the play. He needs to have the ball in his hands, and this team doesn't really operate that way. It's a pass and cut and move kind of an offense, and I do think that Jordan Poole, thrives in a system that is much more him with the ball, getting a screen, and making a choice. And usually that choice is him shooting. He's shooting it 16 times a game this year. And if he was on the Warriors, you wouldn't want him to shoot it that often.
We would love to hear from some of you on this. We got some people lining up. We're going to take your phone calls here momentarily coming up next. 888-957-9570. And the question is, all other things being equal, do you still wish that Jordan Poole played for the Warriors? And then contextually, we can take that conversation wherever we want to go. 888-957-9570. Do you still wish Jordan Poole was a Warrior? We take your phone calls next at 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. This is Willard and Dips.
It's not just the open week. Hold on a sec. Hey!
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
We got to still keep track of them dogs, man.
Yep, no doubt.
Keep track of them dogs.
I mean, that sounds like a big dog.
That's a big dog.
In case you are thinking about possible burglarization sensation, that to me is going to be a no for me.
Well, you know
dog.
What I love, because you could hear in the interaction. And we all know dogs, if you know anything about dogs, they're pack animals. And so what that means is they will respond to sometimes what feels like intense leadership. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the open week. Hold on a second. Hey!
See that? Charles Davis? Like, that's one of my favorite things about dogs. Not my dog, because I could say something like that. My dog would look at me and be like, what?
Exactly.
But anyway... Charles
say
is,
what again?
Charles just like, hey, and that's the end of that.
Pretty much. Didn't hear another bark.
That dog can be as big as he wants, but that dog was like, boss just spoke.
Right.
Better shut up.
Yeah, and it, yeah. If only toddlers responded the same way.
Seriously? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, nope, dogs are way smarter than toddlers. That's not even a conversation.
And I wonder about the defiance level of your average 2.5-year-old versus your average canine.
Oh, the 2-year-old, way worse. I mean, think about it. First of all, what's one of the main things we need to live? Food, right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you need to do to get a dog to eat?
Put the bowl down.
You just need to put it there.
Yeah.
But a kid... Oh, you got to pretend like
dude, children you have no idea.
Are an airplane. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This morning's breakfast was a series of if-then propositions. If you have another bite of your egg, then I will give you this piece of buttered bread. Do you want a choo-choo or a helicopter?
You know what that is.
It's a negotiation sensation.
It's negotiation sensation. Cha-ching.
You know what it is?
Cha-ching!
It's an hour-long battle
to get a
2-year-old to have breakfast.
A migraine headache is what it is.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. Jordan Poole's in town tomorrow. Do you still wish he was on the team? Let's go to Bud in Oakland. Hi, Bud. Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, as far as the kids, man, I have a 2-year-old myself. He'll be 3 coming up on the 25th. But you just have to try to find what it is that they like and just, I mean, if you got to repeat, give it to them. Like, mine, for dinner, he'll love spaghetti every night if I have spaghetti. He'll eat it all. But as far as Jordan Poole, man, what Jordan was doing was he was starting to smell himself. Jordan, he knew he came out in the same draft as Ja and the other guys. They all got their payday. And, you know, he got the championship ring before those guys. And then he got his payday, and he already knew coming out in that draft, he felt that he was as good as those guys, and he may have felt that he should have been taken higher. Granted, for him, he got taken by the Warriors, and he has the championship ring first, but that's what happened with Jordan. He started to smell himself, and you can see it in his play, and he started to tell himself, you know what, these guys need me. And that's what his play dictated, is these guys need me. You saw the way when Curry was trying to say something to him when he was on the way to the bench. He, like, bumped past Curry
yep.
and had this little attitude. When you have that towards the guys who paved the way for you, you're thinking bigger of yourself than the team, and that showed in his attitude and it showed in his skill set. But, I mean, we may be missing him offensively, but at the same time, man, this is something we can get past, man. We went through the We Believe years, and even before that as Warriors fans, when you can go to the Oakland Coliseum and get in for, what was it, $2 Wednesdays or something like that? Yeah, so we've come a long way as a fan base, man. Yep. So, you know, let's just take it in stride, and thanks for taking the call.
Bud, thank you. It's a great phone call.
Yeah.
And there is so much ingrained in NBA culture that's based on respect, and sometimes that is attached to money, and then sometimes it is attached to pecking order. And I'll give the lovely Christie credit on this one. For example, here's something that I think a lot of us thought was whimsical and fun. And she told me the first time she saw it, she went, that's going to be a problem. Want to know what it is? It's when Jordan Poole was leading the league in free throw percentage and the other team would get a technical foul called on them, and Poole and Curry were both on the floor at the same time. And then they had this funny little thing about who's going to get to go shoot the free throw. And she's like, oh, no, that's not good. No, it's not funny. That's Steph Curry. Steph Curry shoots the free throw. Yeah. Stand down, Jordan. Now, that may not sound like a big deal.
No, I know it's a big deal.
But that's a micro point in a macro conversation, which is what Bud is pointing to. And the bottom line is, yes, I do think there were people in the Warriors organization that think that Jordan got too big for his britches. And I don't really blame him for it, because that's the NBA. When you're coming up and you want a bag and you want to be a one, and you think you have that in you, and someone else is blocking you from doing that, it becomes a problem.
And it is pecking order, and I'll make my second soccer analogy. And when there's a penalty, and it's going to be a penalty kick that's going to be taken, there is a penalty kick taker who takes the PK. And sometimes you have a young star who might think that it's their time to be the PK taker, and it's like, no, it's not your time. I'm the 12-year vet, and this is what I do. And so the PK taker is the guy who has more experience and more gravitas, even if it's a 3-0 game, and even if you were the one who drew the foul. And, you know, you draw the foul, you think, I'm going to get the PK. It's like, no, we have an order. There's an order to things, and it's the same thing with the technical foul free throw. And I do think that the bag part of it is a big one, and this is where it brings us to Jonathan Kuminga, because he saw his draft class. Now, a lot of them got the really, really big bag, and he wants the big bag. And so I do think that his year started with him maybe bag chasing, and then the last 5 games, it felt like he kind of had zeroed in on the reality of, if I play well in the right way, the bag will be there. And then he got hurt,
which
is the sad part.
Well, this is why so many of these guys, Poole struggled with it. Kuminga struggles with the idea of not starting. That's all about respect and money. It's not about, do you still get 30 minutes a night? It's about respect and money. That's it. And I remember saying to you earlier, before the punch, that the Jordan Poole thing could get wobbly. My prediction was that Jordan wouldn't necessarily want to be a Warrior anymore, because he's not caught up in the history of all this. He wasn't here for all of the first 3 championships. So when people are like, how could he not want to be a Warrior? And I'm like, because the job of number one is taken here. And he thinks that he can have that job. It's the same reason Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter broke up, is because they both were like, Vince was the one. And then Tracy became a free agent, and he was like, I'm a one. That job's not open here. Now, it ended up being a parting for different reasons, because he got whacked in the face, and then the team traded him, and it got all sideways. But I remember thinking, this is heading down a road that'll be really interesting to see what Jordan wants to do. Because, man, that's tough. Jonathan's still dealing with it.
Right.
When you think that that your head is bigger than the ceiling in the room, what do you do?
Especially when you are yet to really show it and prove it. And, you know, I've been reading through the Ramona Shelburne article on ESPN about Jimmy Butler.
It's really good.
He's a guy who's actually done it. And so their big push-pull is, a lot of it's about money. And, you know, Pat Riley's a guy who's going to dig his heels in and do the right thing with the Heat culture in mind. But at least he's a guy who's been in the league for, what, 14 years. And if you're Kuminga and you're Poole and your youngster's coming up and Poole gets the bag and now the shoulders are back and you got a bounce in your step, it's like, I'm here, I'm him.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded by Steph, Dre, and Clay, guys who've, you know, won three more rings than you, and they've been doing it a lot longer, there's definitely going to be a little bit of tension in the room.
No doubt, which I firmly believe, and this is hard to say because it makes it sound like I'm victim-shaming, I believe there was a lot of that tucked into what eventually happened. That is not excusing Draymond by any stretch. But I do think there was a lot of tension in the room that was based on attitudes, money, big for britches, challenging authority and establishment, all of those things, I think were in the room and probably had a hand in whatever got into Draymond that caused him to do that. Christian in Fairfield, next up. Hi, Christian. We thank you for the call. What are you doing?
Listening to you guys. I like everything the caller said and what you guys are saying. And to piggyback on that, he quit on his team after Draymond punched him. That's to what I see. And you don't want to play with a guy that quits on their team. That's where you see what kind of player a person is when the adversity hits. He's supposed to turn up and say, I'm better than Draymond. Go out there and ball. And they want to get rid of Draymond and not him. And you see, like the guy said, Steph's telling them, play ball, play ball. And he's that prima donna stuff. So, no, I don't miss Jordan Poole at all. And his numbers in Washington are skewed. Anyone in the NBA with that usage rate can get 20 a game. So, he can stay over there.
Christian, thanks.
Yeah, I don't know about him quitting on the team. I have a hard time with that one.
That's
because,
a big word.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and he played all 82, and he played 30 minutes a night. And whether or not he became too self-centered and selfish as a basketball player, we could have that conversation. But for me, when you quit on your team, that means you either fake injury or don't show up or clearly jake it and don't try. I think Jordan Poole still went out and tried. I don't know if he necessarily was trying to play the way they wanted him to play, and that might ultimately have been why he got sent out. But for me, the idea of the Q word, you got to really be sure that somebody is quitting. Devondre Campbell quit on his team.
That's a good point.
I mean, can we call that a guy who says, I don't want to play? Tyreek Hill quit on his team.
No doubt. Like, I don't like
Blake Snell quit on his team.
You can argue that. You can argue that. And I think there are some in the Giants organization who agree with you.
Yeah.
And so Blake Snell was never going to continue to be a Giant. I don't think it's good that he ended up with the Dodgers. But anyway,
that might be a lowercase Q.
Yeah, I wouldn't use I get where Christian's coming from. I just wouldn't use that word.
Yeah.
I think that there were multiple and differing motivations. Let's put it that way. Differing.
You're such a good politician.
Well, no, but that's
differing motivations.
That's what it was.
That's saying he was selfish without saying he was selfish.
Okay, but
I like what you're doing.
But you could argue that if you want to use the word selfish, you could just say that about the other side too. I'm not even telling you which side I'm on, although it's pretty hard not to when you're playing with Steph, Dre, and Clay. I think it's pretty hard to have a leg to stand on when you look at the three of them and you're like, actually, I think we should do it this way. How about that? Well, hold on a second. This is Steph, Clay, and Dre. As a fan, I'd rather people come in and sound like Buddy Hield. He walks in and he's like, this is Steph Curry. I'm going to do what Steph Curry tells me to do because that's Steph Curry. Jordan, I don't think, did that. It doesn't make him wrong. It doesn't make him a quitter, though.
Right.
Differing motivations and goals.
It's just, you're a wordsmith, you're a politician. The way you're doing it, I mean, you can use words like selfish, quitter, choker, but you choose to say differing motivations.
Yes,
you're over there painting.
Well,
I'm throwing stuff at the wall and you're over there painting with a fine tooth comb.
Numbers are numbers and words are words.
I do think that
those are my words, he
had differing motivations, and at times, well, at times he was all they had because, you know.
For sure.
You had.
As the other guys aged. Yeah.
Right. And the other guys got hurt. And, you know, you can also look at Klay Thompson and say that he had differing motivations.
It got to that.
Right. When he was hunting his shot.
And that's why he's gone.
Yep.
Right? That's what happens. If you're not on the same page, you got to go. because you are involved with a page that is well-traveled and true. That's this is Golden State Warrior basketball in 2025. It doesn't mean they're going to win the title this year, but you're not going to come in during the Steph Curry era and tell them to do it a different way. No, doesn't work. Steve in Stockton. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, I'm just glad. I'm glad we actually got rid of Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was a bench player at best. I don't think that he was even the second best player on that team. You walk into a room with three future Hall of Famers, and you're demanding the ball. You're demanding the night to be about you. And a lot of that has to do with the year prior when Steph got hurt, Draymond got suspended, Klay was out, and now you are that man that the weight of the game is on your shoulders. And he took care of us for that duration. But you have three future Hall of Famers on your team who have won rings, who have played to a greatness that no one else can surpass, and your head became big. You know, the punch is something a lot of people talk about. You heard Draymond's apology. But there's a reason why somebody gets punched, right? Nobody just walks up to somebody and punches somebody. And I think with a guy like Draymond, who demands respect, demands 110% when you're on the court, he is the bully and the bully captain of our team. And you come in with a big head. I think an arrogance got to him, and I think that's why he got punched. I think words were said. He challenged the captain of the team, the bull, and he got the horns. And then when you've seen during the season, you know, Steph's not really, he'll show emotion, but he's not a frustration emotion person.
Yep.
He doesn't have that show. And you've seen half court, Steph takes his mouthpiece out and slings it across the court in frustration because Jordan Poole's taking he's being guarded by two guys, Steph Curry standing at the 35-foot mark for a game winner, and Jordan Poole's taking a 40-foot four shot. That's the best player, the best shooter in the league, next to LeBron being the best player in the league, and you're watching him stand there wide open, and you're not feeding him the ball. That is what told me that Jordan Poole was going to be gone.
Yeah, Steve, I'm with you, especially the second half of your call. All the drama, I get it. And it doesn't make Jordan in the wrong. Like, that's big ego stuff. This is the Warriors. This is the NBA. They're champions. Jordan is a champion. They've all got high abilities. They all want multi-million dollar contracts. Like, there's going to be stuff. Think back to when David West was like, y'all don't even know what the hell went on in this locker room this year.
Well, think about how much stuff there's been since Jordan left. Yep. There has still been stuff. Klay's entire year. Draymond got suspended for a choke and a stomp and a flail punch. And Kuminga pouted last year. So the drama didn't begin or end with Jordan Poole.
No. What I focus on when we look at this is the basketball. It's the basketball.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I'm in the middle of a little project over here. I am on John Hollinger's NBA efficiency rankings website, and I'm scrolling.
Yeah. Down? You're scrolling down?
I'm on page 5.
And you're looking for Jordan Poole?
I haven't found his name yet. It's possible that I missed it, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm on page 5. I'm going to let you know when I find it.
Okay.
I'm through 250 players.
As far as efficiency.
Efficiency ratings. And I have gone through most of the Warriors.
And this is, PER, player efficiency ratings?
Correct.
As per John Hollinger?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I just got to Harrison Barnes, who's number 260.
Yeah.
I found him.
I just got to Buddy Hield at number 268.
Is he going to find him if he keeps scrolling, or did he miss him?
No, he missed him.
I did?
Oh, God.
Okay.
He missed him because he hates him.
He's on the very end of the second page. He's the 100th most efficient player according to John Hollinger's PER.
What's the problem then? He's top 100.
Where did I miss him?
Yeah.
You said he's number 100?
Yeah.
See, I've got number 100 as Clint Capella.
Hmm.
Huh.
We'll have it on ESPN.com. John Hollinger, PER.
That's where I am. What's the PER number? What is Jordan Poole's number?
16.78.
Yes, it's 16.78. I see him now at number 122. On my list. This may include players who haven't haven't played.
Yeah.
They haven't qualified, though.
You know I'm reluctant to do this.
Anyway, you know who he's...
I'm Team Grandy because I'm looking at it, and I have him at 100.
Okay, no, that's fine. Like I said, I may be on a list that includes players who have played like 5 games. Guess who he's right behind? Right behind, like just narrowly. He's at 16.78.
Kuminga!
Jonathan Kuminga's 16.79.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Jonathan in Danville. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing? I had to call myself down because we got to put some respect on my boy Jordan's name here. And I know we're talking about after everything's said and done, Jordan. Now, we do understand when players go through things like Klay Thompson. I know it was an injury, but he never came back. And we have respect for that, and we understand that. We also appreciate what he's done. You talk about Klay having a ring, Draymond having a ring. Put some respect on the third Splash Bros name because he's got a ring. And I know that after he got hit and the entire league made fun of him, the internet went crazy, and the Warriors really didn't do a whole lot. And imagine, I don't know where you guys work, but if my assistant manager punched me in the face in front of everybody at work and was not fired, I don't think I'd want to be there either. And not to mention, I don't know about you guys, but I feel bad for some of these people's sauces when they say, well, you know, he got punched, so he must have deserved it. I don't condone those kinds of things. I remember Jordan for what he was and what he did, and that's where I'm going to keep him. It's Friday. Let's get in a happy mood. It's not that serious. It's basketball, Warrior fans. Let's get going. And again, put some respect on my boy Jordan's name.
Yeah, Jonathan, let us respond to that.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Like, first of all, everybody's happy. We're super happy.
Second of all, if my assistant manager punches me, I'll see you not on the court, but in court.
In court, exactly right.
I'm a lawyer up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody argues of those points. What I would say back to you is that you're forgetting all of the other stuff. And that's what each person and fan gets to do. You get to remember what you want to remember. I remember what he did. I don't think when someone wins a championship, that automatically means, so now they've got diplomatic immunity. For the rest of their lives, we can have no opinions about them. You brought up Klay Thompson, and you know what you're forgetting? He got publicly torched the last year. This radio station couldn't stop taking phone calls nicknaming him Clank Thompson.
Mm.
He got absolutely dragged through the mud, I thought, last year. And he's Klay. He's an actual Splash Brother, and he doesn't have a ring. He's got 4 and 2 major injuries that he fought through. So I think there's plenty of respect on Klay's name. And honestly, I do think there's respect on Jordan Poole's name. That's where we started this conversation.
Yeah.
I love the work that he did to become a good player. I love that he contributed to a championship. I don't really dig where it went after that. Is it all his fault? 1,000% no. But to me, that can't be the whole story. Jordan works his way to be good. Jordan is good. Jordan helps win a ring. Jordan got punched. End of story. No, I just think it's a little more layered than that.
It's always more layered than that. And, you know, I always hesitate when people want to give him that Splash Brother acronym because there are only 2 Splash Brothers.
Not,
and
yeah.
You can give him Splash Cousin and, you know, he got a water-based nickname when you talk about a pool party, which is great. And, you know, he was fantastic in the championship year. And even the year after, he was good. He got you just about 20 a night coming off the punch, and then he got traded for a variety of reasons, and I don't know how much of that stems from the punch. I do believe the majority of the reason why he got traded was an overall fit. I don't think that he fits the way he's best at playing basketball, for me, doesn't fit with what the Warriors have with Steph Curry.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And as far as, you know, being traded for a variety of reasons, I will say this, though. This is what keeps sticking in my mind. Like, when you said he was still really good post-punch, I understand that statistically we've got this marriage with the 20-point number in the NBA, and if somebody scores 20 points, they're royalty. You average 20 PPG, and I know that's hard to do. There's no doubting his skill set, which is elite in terms of this globe and people who play offense in the NBA. But I would argue that was not a good season, and I would argue it not from any particular numbers. I would argue it from the fact that, as I said earlier, that year, when I watched Warrior basketball, my phone, every single game, was lighting up with people from work and outside of work texting about how Jordan Poole drove them nuts. That's how you felt. That's how the Warrior fans felt that year.
It was frustrating.
And I think it's gotten forgotten.
Well, and I do think
or brushed over.
And, you know, numbers are always interesting when you look at them. And you were talking about the Hollinger performance rankings. And I just looked at last year. Last year, he was 237th.
No, he's better this year.
This year, he's 100th.
No question.
So, you know, better year. And the numbers are about the same, so it all depends on, you know, how much you shoot and how much you score.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. The knockout tournament is back. You won't play ball on the Chase Center floor like Jordan Poole used to do and like he will tomorrow? Well, all you got to do is be with us throughout the month of January and February. Not next Monday, but the one after that, January 27th. That's when we're going to start qualifying everybody, and we'll do it for 3 weeks, every day, three times a day. Each show will have a spot, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour, every day for 3 weeks starting on the 27th. That's how you can qualify to come play ball with us on the Chase Center floor and try to dethrone Mark Grandy, okay? That's what we're doing. You got to be 18. You got to be a California resident. We look forward to giving those out and meeting a lot of you there. A lot of you want to weigh on in this, and so that's what we're going to do. Coming up next, your phone calls, 888-957-957 on Willard and Dips.
Now, back to Willard and Dips.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, they need a stretch four. Or five.
Yeah.
People are on the internet tweeting out pictures of Kevin Durant in a Dodgers uniform.
Okay.
You don't get it?
I guess because, like, they're now a super team?
Just a little bit.
We'll see.
And people keep joining them.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And baseball's different because you can be a super team and then you can have a starter have a bad day, or you can go up against a great starter and you could be out.
If you have been listening to the station all day, you'll get this joke. If you haven't, maybe you won't. But I would say somebody should call Guru right now and offer him a bet of Dodgers versus the field.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Because he has Kansas City against the field. With Steiny in a bet.
And thinks he pulled a fast one on him.
Yep.
Right. We can get into it with Fade the Dibber coming up a little bit later. But
you're picking all four games?
And the picks
Shut
are
up!
In. The picks are in. Yeah.
I love that, man.
I do too.
Anyway, go ahead.
There's so many things I love about that show. And one of them is how, you know, Steiny will just kind of slowly lure him into these bets, and then Guru just makes these big proclamations, and Steiny's like, you want to bet? And then boom.
He's the best.
I don't know.
He's the best. He's absolutely the best. Completely authentic, by the way, everybody.
Yeah.
Completely authentic. That man. The Chiefs are not the best team. They're not even close to the best team. I don't think they're one of the two best teams.
If I was to power rank the eight, I would probably put them fourth.
Yes. Yes, the Ravens, Bills, and Lions are better.
I think so.
They're better.
Texans might be better, too.
Nah, they're not better. They might win.
Right.
They're not better.
Well, they only have to be better on Saturday.
Correct.
You know, and we get into the whole thing about which quarterback is better in which system. And, yeah, it just matters who is on whose team and what their system is and all the rest of it.
We're going to go back to the phones, but first we've got slates. Want some info?
Some fresh slates?
We got fresh slates.
All right.
The Warriors will play the Washington Wizards tomorrow. That's why Jordan Poole's name keeps coming up. As far as the Warriors lineup tomorrow night.
The starting lineup? It's already out?
Well, no. Availability for the team. Jonathan Kuminga out. Brandon Pajemski out.
Mm.
Kyle Anderson remains out. Draymond Green, probable.
Okay, good. He's in.
Sounds like
he's in play.
Draymond is not throwing up anymore.
So, yeah, and so the back is obviously better too. Yeah. If you know,
I buy that he was super sick. No.
Well, yeah. Somebody came on and told us as much, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and Fitz actually came on yesterday and said it's been going around the team.
I think it's what Kyle Anderson has.
Right, and it's you know we've talked about it before. If you're on the team and on the plane and in the meetings and in the locker room, how do you not get it?
Well, when he said Kyle Anderson has it, my first question, which I didn't ask, was then why was he on the bench the night before?
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Thank you, Kurt in Hayward Hills.
For crying out loud. Get him away from the guys.
There is a point when you're no longer contagious, and honestly, the biggest area where you can spread it is on an airplane, and that's why I'm still stunned that people like... I will forever wear a mask on an airplane. Yeah. I wear one on BART, and I get on BART most days, and I'm in a train car with 100 people, and there's five people who are wearing masks.
The mask thing, and I don't want to get into it. Nobody wants to get into mask talk.
No, no.
I've always thought the mask thing is kind of more, this just right, maybe more for other people than for you.
It's really for both, because if you have something and you are coughing or sneezing and there are droplets that are flying out of your face,
right.
If I have a mask on, I'm more likely to ward it off. I'm less likely to inhale it if I don't have direct facial contact with your spray.
I don't work for the CDC, so I don't know.
That's I don't just, either.
I always thought it was more for others than for you.
I think it's a two-way go.
Wear a mask. But I do know when someone is not contagious anymore. I do know that.
Oh, yeah.
You're not contagious anymore when there's something that you really want to go to.
That's so funny.
Right. But if it's school.
Or work.
Oh, my God.
I got a bad.
I ain't going to do that to everybody else.
Exactly.
I'm contagious.
No doubt.
Up in here. All right. 888-957-9570. How about Doug in Berkeley? Hey, Doug, what is cooking?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
To you too, man.
Love the conversation. Yeah. Love the conversation. I got a question for you. I know how I feel about Jordan Poole. But you know, he came up. He was a good player. Thought he was all that. Turned out the league was better than he thought. Went down to the G League. He worked. He really worked. And I think he got better. And he came up and he contributed. And I also think that the Warriors' structure that was imposed on him allowed him to be a better player than he would otherwise have been. And I think we're seeing that now in Washington. So my question to you is, and, you know, Willard, you talked about the pros and cons a lot. My question to you is, if he came back, having gone through what he's gone through in Washington and knowing that, you know, on his own, he's not all that. Do you think that he could be a contributor, a really positive contributor to this Warriors team? Mm. What do you guys think?
Doug, thanks. Appreciate the call. Could he be a positive contributor to this team knowing everything he's gone through? Probably.
Sure.
Probably. I mean, I'm not going to act like that's a small thing to get over, you know, what they've all been through as a group. And I also think that this particular team they're not contending for a championship, at least not in this moment. So can he be a positive contributor to a team that's not winning a championship? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think we are past the days, though, where he can be a positive contributor for this particular group or maybe even any other to win a title. And I know that might be weird for people to hear because he's won a ring. But that was in a role that he no longer wants to accept, seemingly. That's in a role that he's graduated from.
Right. Now, could he, like, put himself into a spot where he can play the role that the Warriors need him to play? Maybe, but I look at the way Jordan Poole is playing now in Washington, and I look at his usage rate, which is higher than Steph Curry. He is involved in 29% of all Washington possessions. And so if you're playing with Steph Curry and his usage rate is 28.6%, which means you're kind of running things through Steph. And if you look at all the players on the list of the most used players, the highest usage rate, they're all stars. It's LaMelo Ball, star on a bad team, leads the league in usage. 38% of their offensive possessions go through him. You got Giannis and Gilgeous Alexander and Luka and Cade Cunningham. So these are all ones, and Steph Curry is a one. If Jordan came here again, he would not be a one. Could Jordan Poole be comfortable and thrive with a usage of, I don't know, 20%? Maybe, but I do think that the way Jordan Poole plays, where he is at his best, is when he has a high usage, he has the ball, and he's the guy.
Yeah, it is tough. And again, that's what I think is hard for all of us to sort of put a finger on, because we're not there, we're not on the team, we're not inside these circles, but it is a thread that runs through every situation in the NBA, and it's respect. And respect is attached largely to two things in the NBA, money and role. And that's where a lot of these issues start. You know, Jimmy Butler, what's going on there? What do you think? What do you think? Jimmy just doesn't like Tyler Hero? He just thinks Eric Spoelstra's a jerk? And Jimmy has done this almost everywhere he's ever been, by the way. And maybe sometimes it's relationships, but I'm pretty sure that right now it's about money and it's about standing within the pecking order of the organization. That's what we're talking about. And it has led to arguments and suspensions and trade demands and all of these things. That's the straw that stirs the NBA drink.
Yeah, that being said, I don't know if you saw this from earlier, but Jimmy Butler tweeting out through his agent, quote, "I'm back." And he is back, and he is in the starting lineup, and the Heat are getting set to tip off here at the top of the hour. And Coach Spo announced earlier that Butler will return to the starting lineup, saying, quote, "Having Butler in the lineup gives us the best chance tonight." So Jimmy's back, and Jimmy's going to start. So keep your eyes on the Miami Heat.
What could go wrong?
As Jimmy rejoins the Heat after a 7-game suspension.
How many minutes into the game before he starts shooting at the other team's basket?
I'd say 3.
Okay.
Probably slow play a little bit.
Take the under. Leo in the city next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Leo.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? Just a quick take on that Butler thing. He's probably going to have the best game of the season
tonight.
He
probably will. You're not wrong.
He's going to want to prove that he's still got it, because he's going to go someplace and demand that extension. So he can't do what he was doing like 2 or 3 games before he got suspended, which is basically acting like he was on playground with a bunch of kindergartners. That's not going to work with Riley. Anyway, back to Jordan. Interesting with all the revisionist history about Jordan, and I can understand, you know, people critiquing his game. You know, people critique everybody's game in the NBA. LeBron gets critiqued. But at the end of the day, I think Jordan did contribute here. I think we forget to remember that he was a 22-year-old. He was learning. I thought the best environment for him was when he was with Curry to learn how to play in big games. Did he make mistakes? Of course, he was a young player. Kind of the same thing that, you know, we talk about with Kuminga now, young player, just learning. Well, they're about the same age at that time in terms of Jordan comparing him to Kuminga today. So I think he would have grown in a role here. And certainly I think he would be a very useful player here, again, given the coaching. You know, when you go to Washington, that's a black hole, right? A lot of players have gone to Washington, they found that black hole. And you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is that Jordan had an opportunity to go to the G League and not come back. But because he's so confident in himself and his skills, he made it back. I think that says a lot about who he is. This whole thing in terms of revision history, that he had a big head and blah, 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 the comment about, you know, free throws with competition with Curry. That was a friendly competition, and they were making each other better.
But you don't know that. You don't know that, Leo. And I don't think
I don't know what.
You don't know that they were all good with that. And you don't, like, you're saying it's revisionist history, and it's not. Like, you're going to a certain moment in the story, and then you're stopping. And what I would add to it is, when you say he was 22 and he was getting better and he was making mistakes, sure, we can look past all that. What you're forgetting is that at a certain point, he turned around and went the other way. He wasn't getting better. He was getting worse. And so whether you want to call that a big head or whatever, this is pretty well documented. And I think it was pretty evident by the way his teammates were acting on the floor with him. So I think, my opinion now, I think you're the one who's forgetting some things that happened.
No, I'm not forgetting what happened. What I'm saying is, once I believe the punch had a real effect on him mentally, okay?
Sure.
I think especially the fact that, I think the fact that Draymond really didn't, the organization didn't really, penalize Draymond for that, okay? They decided, and I think that's why he got traded, Jordan got traded. They decided, obviously, that they were going to go with Draymond, and they just felt after what had happened and some of the things that were going on after the punch that there was no way those two guys could play together. I think that was the bottom line. And I think that played the biggest part in them trading them than anything else. They obviously felt that he was worth the money and they gave him the extension. Now, on the other side of the coin, people have said, you've heard this time and time again, that Draymond was a little upset because, you know, Jordan got the bag. He wanted the bag. They talk about the lack of respect, but I don't get my bag. There was rumors all over the place about him going someplace else. Those things happen in the NBA all the time. That's what's going on with Butler down in Miami, as you said. But and I'm not justifying everything. I'm not saying Jordan's 100% perfect player. What I'm saying is, as a young player, I give him the opportunity that he could have grown with a good team and a good coach was what was going on here. And I do think the punch played a vital part in him getting traded because I think probably in his head he didn't want to play with Draymond, and I'm not sure Draymond wanted to play with him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Leo, we got to run and get some others in here. Thank you very much. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.